Our gospel lesson this morning in Ephesians talks about God's plan for us. Talks about us being predestined even before the creation of the earth by God. We know we are called to choose God. We know that we are called to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know we're called to repent, to turn around, to change our lives. We know that we're called to live our lives in Jesus Christ and not in ourselves in the world. But none of us will answer that call unless God first calls us. The world is too attractive. The world is too seducive. The world doesn't put demands on us the way that Jesus Christ does. And what Paul is saying here is that God has chosen his own and given them to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew, they are my sheep that God has given, and no one will snatch them from my hand. What God has given me, no one can take away. And yet we still struggle. If we have been chosen by God before the creation of the world, if we have been predestined for salvation through Jesus Christ, why is life such a struggle? Why are we tormented? Why do we find it difficult to place our lives completely in the hands of God? Why can't we trust God with our lives? Perhaps this is why Paul calls it a mystery. We had a lively discussion in Bible study the other night about this and about living our lives in God's plan. Obviously, if God chose his people before the creation of the earth, he has a plan for them. If God chose to draw you into himself, he has a plan for you. It doesn't say in the scripture that we read, Paul doesn't write that God called a people, chose a people before the creation of the earth. It says he chose us in him before the creation of the earth. In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity with the purpose of his will. God has a plan for you. And we can struggle with the plan, and we can fight the plan, and we can argue that it's not fair, that it's not working out the way that it should. Nowhere in the Bible does it call God fair. Not that he's unfair, of course he is not. God is perfect. But God is just. God is the creator. for us to argue with the Creator is like the clay pot arguing with the potter. Why did you make me that way? It tells us this in Scripture. Some pottery is made for honor and some is not. And the pot doesn't get to choose whether it was designed for a chamber pot or an ornament on an altar. And whichever it is chosen for, it is not unfair. It's just because the Creator made it that way. God's working out His plan. Even as we read this scripture this morning in Mark, it's an odd way of describing the death of John the Baptist that Mark starts off. What that scripture is about is not the death of John the Baptist, but it's about even Herod. The word of Christ is growing so well known throughout the kingdom that even King Herod knows. And it says, oh, by the way, this is the king that killed John the Baptist. And everybody's wondering who this is. But tell me, Christ said that there was no other prophet greater than John the Baptist, that he was a great and righteous man. So was it fair that John the Baptist was beheaded just because he pointed out to the king that he was living in adultery and sin? Was that fair? How can that be part of God's plan? God is righteous. God is just. God is the Creator. And John the Baptist was part of God's plan. And John the Baptist himself said that I will fade away as one greater comes. One I'm not even good enough to tie the thongs on his sandals. And he was talking about Jesus Christ. John had disciples. John had a huge following of thousands of people who hung on his every word. And in God's plan, this is how God removed John from the earth and took him with himself to heaven so that Christ's ministry would move forward, because that was part of God's plan. Tell me, was it fair that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was beaten? Thank God that God is not fair. If God was fair, I would not stand a chance. If God was fair, I would bear the price for my sins. If God was fair, Jesus Christ would not have suffered so badly. Not from the pain, from the beatings, from the nails, but not Jesus suffered so badly because he took on the pain of my sin. And that wasn't fair. But thank God that he did. And we go through so much pain and suffering. We go through so much loss. We go through illnesses and financial distress and people that we counted on letting us down, and people that counted on us, that we let down. And we go through life like this, and it doesn't seem fair. We say, where is God? And we know God is right there with us, giving us what we need, guiding us to what we need to be. God, help us to accept His plan. God, give us the strength to have faith in Him. Faith in the one who would remove someone as righteous as John the Baptist to make way for his son whom he loved. And yet he was willing to give and make him bear the sins of the world for me and for you. Not in fairness, but in righteousness. Not in fairness, but in keeping with God's plan. What John calls the great mystery. God is working out His plan, and God will continue to work out His plan with or without my help. But God has told us what He wants from us. Scripture tells us what we are to do. Scripture tells us that we are to give our lives to Jesus Christ. That we are allow the Holy Spirit that dwells in us to guide us, not to fight it, not to argue with it, but to do God's will. Even when it hurts. Even when it's not fair. Even when it doesn't make good sense to us. If you and I had been there, would we have told Jesus Christ to go to the cross? No. Jesus calls His disciples to have fear, to be weak. He called Peter, who would cut off the ear of one of the guards who was arresting Jesus, He calls Peter to cower in fear and to deny Him three times. Because He couldn't have Peter there and His disciples interfering and defending Him in court, and couldn't have them speaking up about His righteousness and giving Pontius Pilate some reason to release Jesus. Because Jesus, as part of God's plan, had to go to the cross, had to take on my sins, your sins. He had to do that because it was part of God's plan. Living our lives as part of a plan is very, very different from living our lives for ourselves. When someone has given their life for you, when someone has taken on your guilt, when someone has taken on the sin that you could never have survived judgment for, living our lives becomes a very different thing. Jesus didn't die for a people. Jesus didn't die for the world. Jesus died for me and you personally, individually. He didn't take on corporate sins or worldly sins. He took on my sin. He took on your sin. And he knows you by name. And that is a very different way of living your life through the one who has given so much for you. For the one who created you. For the one who chose you when He could have chosen anyone. It gives purpose to your life. It gives meaning to your life. And it's important that we live our lives with purpose. It's important that we live our lives intentionally. Not by happenstance, not responding to the world, not seeking the world, but living our lives intentionally for Christ. Living our lives intentionally as one who has been chosen. And not everyone was chosen. One who has been chosen by the Creator of the world to do His will in the world. To do His will with one another. One who has been chosen to seek those who do not know Him and tell them, because they may be one that He has chosen. And you may be the only one who can deliver that good news. Living our lives for Jesus Christ is not going through life just responding to life, dealing with life. Living our lives for Jesus Christ with purpose and intention is a sanctified life. Is a life that has meaning. Is a life that has direction. Is a life that is guided by a plan that was created before the world. Yes, God's grace is irresistible. If God has chosen you, you will receive salvation. You will receive eternal life. But God has chosen you for so much more than just to live. God has chosen you to live in His name. God has chosen you to be a presence in this world that needs your presence so bad, that needs your presence everywhere, all the time, that needs you personally to make a difference, to make a statement, to be a light and to be salt in the community, to flavor the community and the family and the workplace with Jesus Christ, to give meaning to your life. I encourage you to spend time reading this first chapter of Ephesians and reading Mark 6 and thinking about John the Baptist and what he did and what he gave and how he lived. It's all with purpose. John the Baptist, if you recall, was born to Elizabeth, who was barren. And her husband, Zechariah, was the priest. And they were old. Too old to have children by this world standard. They had never had children and never would have children. But God's plan said that they would have a child. But it was also God's plan that John the Baptist would be born with no brothers and sisters. His parents would surely have died when he was young. And he would devote his entire life to God with no distractions. God's plan is working out everywhere throughout the scripture. It's all tied together. It's not a series of scriptures and verses that are each living on their own. They're all living in Christ. They're all part of the plan. They're all tied together. We don't understand how they're all tied together. I don't know how they all work. Never will. Well, maybe someday. Maybe someday we will. But not for now. The scripture is always working together for God's will for good. It is alive, it is vibrant, and you need to have the scripture and the word of God in your life every day if you have any hope to live your life intentionally and purposefully for the one who created you, for the one who chose you by name. The one who knows you personally and has a plan for you. Amen.